guessed that I was going to be here tonight. Pastor put out that, what was that, picture, whatever it was. How many of you guessed that I was coming? How many of you had no idea? Well, good. That's a good thing. Pastor, I'm telling you, that picture looked nothing like me at all. First of all, the hairline was farther back. I don't wear black suits. I don't wear a red tie. Well, I have a red tie on today. But I'm just glad to be here with y'all and excited to be here. And I'll tell you just a little bit what's going on in Montmorency, New York. Of course, it's been 2 years. Honestly, it's been 2 years almost to the day. I think all of October of 2019, I was traveling and preaching at churches, my wife and I. And then by November, we were gone. And so this is, literally has been about 2 years since I've been back. And so it's hard to believe that, honestly, that 2 years. But God has been doing a work there at Mount Morris, New York. Many of you probably have no idea where Mount Morris is or what Mount Morris is known for. But when people think about New York, they think, I'm close to the city, right? I say, New York, oh, you must be by the city. I'm nowhere close to the city. I mean, I'm like 5 hours away from the city. We are upstate New York. We're closer to Canada and Buffalo, Rochester area, about 30 minutes south of Rochester. And Mount Morris is actually known. Does anybody know what Mount Morris is known for?
Matt White.
No, not for Matt White. No. soon enough, right now. Mount Morris is known for the Pledge of Allegiance. That's where it was written. And the most interesting thing is I actually pastor the church where the Pledge of Allegiance was written in. And so that is some history there. Francis Bellamy's grandfather was the pastor of the church that I pastor. And so that's something cool. I'm actually near our backyard is Letchworth State Park, which is the number one state park in New York State. And we have tons of people. Around this time, about 500,000 people come through just to look at the leaves. That's what people are there for. And then by December, they're out of there because they don't want the snow. The feet, so much snowfall happens in that area. I mean, we had, I think last year, about 3 to 4 feet of snow. And that was, it was an eye-opening thing for me. Because here in Evansville, what do we have? We just have a bunch of ice, right? But out there, we have a lot of snow. But God's been doing a great work there. And again, we're going on 2 years here in November. And I'm just glad what God is doing. We took the church. It was about 20 to 25 people. And pretty much we got into it knowing that it was going to be a rebuild. The folks, they were without a pastor for 3 years. And they were just pretty much surviving. And that's what it was. And so we came in and we hit the ground running right away. We started renovating some things. And pastor said, you know, there's some things, you know, that I've learned that what not to do. But honestly, I learned a lot when I was here. And one of the big things that I learned, of course, I was in the grind every single day from when Brother Joe got here from 5 a.m. all the way to about, I don't know, 8 p.m. Sometimes, yes. Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah, 5 a.m. Yeah, I was here with Brother Joe at 5 a.m. sometimes. And we were working on all of this and putting all of it together. And I took what I learned from there and brought it to Mount Morris. And I'm glad for that instance. And then all the things that we were able to experience here together, my wife and I. And so we took our church of 25, hit the ground running. And the Lord's just blessed. And honestly, He has blessed our church. And I would say up to this point, we run around 80 people. And if everybody were to come, you know how that will be. We'll be running over 100, but God's just been doing a great work. And I know many of you follow us, not follow us, but you follow us on Facebook, and you keep up to date with what we're doing. And so I appreciate that. We always covet your prayers, and we just ask that you continue to pray for us. And I was talking to Pastor Russ today, and just he's asked me, hey, what are you preaching on? And I told him, it's like, you know, I have no idea, honestly. And I know it sounds bad. You don't know what you're going to preach on. No, because, you know, the Lord has worked in many ways of, I told Pastor Russ, I was writing out two sermons while I was on the plane, and they didn't stick with me. I said, I prayed about them, said, no, those are not it. And so tonight, I want us to take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, if you could please, Luke chapter number 6, and we're going to get right into it. And 7:32, Pastor, I got until 8, right? 8 o'clock. And he said, I need to be done at 8 o'clock or y'all are going to start leaving. And so I will definitely do that. What's different in New York than here in Indiana is y'all show up to church early. New York, I mean, we start church at 11 o'clock on Sundays. And I mean, 11:05, that's when we get started. It's just different. It's a different species up there, you know. I can't explain it, but it's different. So it was good to see a lot of friendly faces again. A lot of folks coming in early, excited about being in church. So I just want to speak on that just a little bit. Not the part of coming to church early. That's a good thing. But about excitement. Get excited. You know, many times in our Christian lives, sometimes we get stuck in a rut, don't we? And sometimes we can just continue to do things just because, well, we've always done it that way. You know, Faithway, when I was here for 4.5 years, we knew there was conferences coming up, and we had to get ready for those things. We knew Cowboy Carnival was every 2 years, and so we got ready for that. We knew that things needed to get done, and so we knew the regiment. We knew Saturday was soul winning. We knew that church was on Sunday, and it was going to be busy. And for many of us, we take that as, you know, check it off our box throughout the week. And we just say, well, I'm glad I went this week. Check it off my box. You know, I went soul winning. Good. There you go. Check off my box. And that's how many of us live. We live like it's a routine. We act like, you know, the Christian life is just a life of, well, I have to go, instead of saying, man, I get to go. And I hope that 2020 was an eye-opening thing for all of us, where they said, you can't go to church. And you said, well, I love church enough that I'm saying, hey, I need to go to church. And so one thing tonight, I've been doing this study on the disciples, and I want to encourage you all to do that, to just take the disciples one by one and do a study on them. Tonight we're going to talk about Simon. And Simon, we first know about him, I'm taking us to Luke chapter 6, and where the Bible starts to name off all of these disciples. And in verse 15, it says, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zealot. That's it, right there. Simon called Zealot. Now, what is so significant about this man, Simon? Now, Simon, of course, there's not much that we know about this man at all. Most of what we know is just written right here in that verse. Many of the disciples that we know about this man, Simon, many of the disciples, there's somewhat of a backstory for them. But this man, Simon, all we know, if you look at the other accounts in the Bible as well, all we know is that he was a zealot. And then on other accounts, it says he was something else. But a zealot. And so I looked into that. I was like, man, what is a zealot? What is this zealot? And why did God put this in the Word of God? Why did he put this and wanted us to know about that he was a zealot? And so a zealot was, y'all get ready for this, you ready? He was part of a radical political party. These zealots were storming the Capitol. Oh, no, I'm just kidding on that part. But these zealots, they were part of this radical political party. And they started coming together by this man who was their leader called Judas. And this man, Judas, got these folks together who, when Rome at this time started to conquer all these little towns and all these little villages and all this kind of thing, and Rome was taking over, they didn't like that the taxation was coming. And so Judas started this group and said, hey, these Romans, they're taxing us way too much. Are you going to take this? And of course, they said, hey, we're not going to take this. And you know, they had their pitchforks, they had their fire, they had all of that, because they were part of this radical political party. And literally, this man, Simon, was part of that party. Now think about that. He was part of this party. And so he followed after this man, Judas. These guys were rebels. And what they did is, if you look into the history, around 70 AD, this was when these folks were accounted for, really, the destruction of Israel there. Because of what they saw in Rome, they just could not take it. They said, you know, we're just going to take it in our own hands and do what we need to do. And so when God put in here Simon the Zealot, it made me think, man, why would God put that, a zealot? Anything else? You know, Simon, you know, a great man, followed after Jesus, but no, he made sure he put that he was a zealot, some radical man. But what can that be said about us tonight? You know, y'all just had Cowboy Carnival, and praise God for that, and seeing all those souls saved, and many of you were working. I know how that was, and you weren't able to be in the main service. You were out doing everything else. You were probably out just, you know, making sure things were going and flowing right. But with many of us, and like this man, what we can learn from Simon is just one thing. You know, he got so involved in this political party. I mean, literally, he was willing to die with them. And here we are as 2021 Christians, and we can't even get excited about God. We can't even get excited about what we get to do. Think about that. A zealot, a man who was willing to die for his cause. And then we say in our head, man, we have to go to church tonight. Hey, let's get ready. Let's go. We look at church. Oh, I got to teach that class. Oh, man, I don't want to deal with that young boy today. Goodness gracious. He's just been on my nerves. But what I want to bring to us tonight, literally, is just get excited. Just get excited. That's right there when y'all say amen, right? Get excited. Amen. There we go. Why do we need to get excited? Why, you know, when we talk about this excitement, why would God put this man, Simon the Zealot, in the Bible? Because I believe in many cases, all these disciples were different. Every last one of them. You know, we have the other Simon, Simon Peter, the one who in one of the chapters, he was like cursing God and had all these things wrong. But then in Acts, we see that he had a change. Showed us that, hey, we can have bad chapters in our life, but God can still use you. Judas Iscariot, who looked at God and followed after Jesus Christ and then kissed the gates of heaven and then went to hell. We look at all these, they're all different. You look at Matthew, who was a tax collector, who was working for the Romans. We'll get into that. But man, we need to just get excited about our God. Let's go to Numbers chapter number 25. Numbers 25, and we're going to look at verse number 13. I don't know about y'all, but one of the things that I try to do, no matter where I go, I try to bring a smile. I try to, you know, I like to fool around. Y'all knew that. I like to fool around. I like to, you know, have a good time because that's what serving God should be. We should have a good time serving God. It's not a chore. It's not a duty. We get to serve God. We need to start getting excited about that. You know, if these guys were willing to give their life for their radical political party and, you know, storm the capital of Rome and they were willing to just do whatever it took and people knew that, hey, we're going to take this place over because we don't like what you're doing. And then we have our Christians, we have us as Christians. We're just, let it happen. Oh, church has to close down. Oh, whatever. Gives me an excuse not to go now. But get excited. Numbers chapter 25, verse 13, the Bible says this, and he shall have it. And his seed after him, even the covenant of the everlasting priesthood, because he was, and what's that word? Zealous for his God. Man, number one tonight, what do we need to get excited about? What about our God? Don't we serve a great God? I said, don't we serve a great God? Come on, don't we serve a great God? Man, do y'all need to tell your face that then? Seriously, I'm looking out. I can see everybody. Some of you, amen. You guys serve a great God. Amen. So, Brother Matt, you got till 8 o'clock. You better be quiet and keep going. But, man, our God, can I say this? Here's what our God can do. I talked about how all the disciples were different. All these disciples were different, right? So we had Judas. We had Simon Peter. We had Bartholomew. We had Nathaniel. We have all these. They're all different. You know what our God did? I said a little bit about Matthew, right? We all knew who Matthew was. Matthew was a? And he worked for? You know what our God did? Brought a man who worked for Rome and a man who hated Rome, brought them together. Amen. You know what God can do? He can bring folks who are different. Aren't we all different? I'm glad we're all different. Amen. I'm glad I'm not like Brother Joe. I'm glad I'm not Pastor Russ. I'm glad I'm not Brother Ed. I'm glad that I am who God made me to be. Only our God can do something so great. Bring two folks from two different backgrounds and bring them together for one purpose. Hey, you're just going to follow after Jesus Christ. And can I just say something in this regard? You know, there's going to be folks who are going to walk through the doors who may not be who you think they should be. They're going to be different. They may look different. They act different. They may have a different Bible. They may wear different clothes. But the biggest thing that we have in common is that we have Jesus Christ, hopefully, right? Yeah, we make big deals out of these small things. Man, just get excited about our God. Get excited about what God is doing here at Faithway Baptist Church. You know, I try to encourage our folks all, hey, just get excited about what's happening at Village Baptist Church. Just get excited. Man, our God, He answers our prayers. Amen. Our God sent His Son. Our God provides our every need. Our God left us His precious word. Our God protects us. Our God loves us. He will never leave us. He brings us through the valley. He fights our battles for us. He gives us the free will. That's our God that we serve. Amen. Hey, get excited about our God. When's the last time you got excited about our God? When's the last time you got excited about your God? Well, God's not answering my prayers today, so I'm not going to do it. And the more I think about it, about our God, man, most of the time, you know, I think back of how I grew up and where I came from, that God will use somebody like me. He could have used anybody. He said, no, I want to use you. And why me, God? I have nothing. But man, that's our God. That's our God. Hey, teens, that's your God. Hey, adults in here, that's your God. Amen. Come on, hey, get excited about our God. Secondly, tonight, I've got to go along. Not only get excited about our God, but secondly, let's get excited about our guide. Let's go to Acts chapter number 21. Acts chapter number 21. We're looking at this word zealous, because that's what this man Simon was. He was a zealot. He was excited. He was on fire. He was stirred up about this one, about who he was. So number one, we looked at our God. Get excited about our God. And secondly, get excited about our guide. Acts chapter number 21, verse number 20, the Bible says, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother. That's why we call folks brothers and sisters. When I went to my church in New York, I started calling folks brother. They're like, what are you doing? I'm not even kidding. I would call hey, Brother Edward, how are you doing? I said, brother, what's that? Why are you calling me brother? And I told him, hey, you're part of the family of God. We call each other brothers. I don't really call the ladies sisters, you know. I don't go that far. I just say Miss so-and-so. But brother, how many thousands of Jews there, all which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Man, when's the last time you got excited about the Bible? You know, our area that we live in, and I will say this, and I truly do mean this, the area that we moved into is a very dead area with churches, very dead. Folks who just look at the pastor job as literally as a job. It's a job for them. They show up, clock in, clock out 40 hours a week. Folks come, they don't come, doesn't matter, I still get a paycheck. We have all these churches in our area, and they're mostly dead. In our area, there's a lot of Catholic churches, a lot of folks who, there's a lot of Italians in our area. And so when they came over, they started those Catholic churches, and many of them are very, I would say, involved in those. Our church that my wife and I are at now, Village Baptist Church, we are the only independent, fundamental Baptist church in the whole area. No one knocks doors. No one drives buses. No one shares the gospel. You'll be lucky if you hear a gospel message on a Sunday morning from a pastor. You know why? Because they're not excited about this. Can I tell you, folks, if you start getting excited about the Word of God, you know what it's going to do with your life? You know how that will change your life if you just get excited about God's word? And I mean the good and the bad parts. When it feels like, man, God, stop stepping on my toes. It's hurting. Those bad parts and the good parts in the word of God, if you start getting excited about God's word, boy, what it can do for your life. It can change you completely when you just say, Lord, give me what I need. Let's go back to Luke chapter number 6. Here's something that's significant about this man, Simon the Zealot. We saw that only our God can bring Matthew, who was a tax collector, and a man who hated Rome together, because that's our God. And our guide.
We can look over in verse number 27 of Luke chapter number 6. The Bible says this, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also." Brother Matt, why'd you bring that up? I almost said pastor, but I'm not your pastor. Brother Matt, why'd you bring that up? Why did you read those three verses? Because here's the great thing about our guide. You know, the first message that this man heard was to love your enemies. The first message he heard was to love your enemies, and he hated Rome. And the first thing Jesus told him is, hey, man, you got to love your enemies. And I can see, you know, Simon's there and just like, Jesus, that's not for me. That's for these guys. But the only a change can come in a life when the word of God is opened and preached. Simon, of course, he was brought together by a man who, I could see him looking at Matthew and just, oh, look at this guy. Sell out! You are sell out! Because he was a zealot for what he was doing. He was excited for the cause because he thought it was a great cause. Standing up for Israel, yeah! And then when he gets to God, God changes his life, then starts working with Jesus, and then first message he hears from Christ is, you got to love your enemies. You got to, man, when they do you wrong, turn the cheek. But that's what the Word of God does to us. It changes our life. It changes our life. Many times when I was here, Brother Sam and I, we would go out on Thursdays. That was our time. We got to go out soul winning together, and we would go and pick a neighborhood and go door knock and meet some people. Man, we got to see some amazing things. Many times we would go out. Sometimes it was we cast the net and nothing happened. But I love the verse when it says, you know, when we give it, it will not return void. You know, many times we think we give out of track. No one got saved today. You know, that's not the reason why we go out. That we don't just go out, I need to get someone saved today. You know, when I first moved, I thought that was how it was supposed to be every week. Pastor Russ wants me to lead someone to the Lord every week. I got to make sure I do that. I'm going to get fired. It wasn't like that. I was just kidding. But sometimes we get to a point where we're thinking, man, I just got to do this and do this. And God's just saying, no, what you need to do is just go. I'll give the increase. Can I just encourage us, hey, just get in the Word of God. Get excited about what we have here. We have the precious Word of God. He left this with us. He didn't leave it with the angels. He left it with us. So what are we going to do with God's guide? I can tell you something. Get excited about it. Amen. Get excited about God's word. Amen. And honestly, folks, don't just say amen if this is not the meaning of your life. It's easy for us to say amen. Amen, preacher, come on. I don't know if many of y'all say come on or whatever. When I was a teenager, there was this guy, I was at a camp, and this guy was wacky. He was just yelling out some crazy stuff, random stuff. I mean, the preacher was preaching, like, you're barking up the wrong tree, preacher, barking up the wrong tree. And then he would continue, be like, no, no. And, you know, for me, I'm a teenager. I'm just looking at this guy like, all right, buddy, that's enough, all right? But then it had me think, this guy was just excited. So let's get excited about our guide. Let it direct our paths. Let it bring us to where God wants us to go. Let it connect us. But man, get excited about our God. Get excited about our guide. And lastly, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Verse number 12, the Bible says this. Even so, ye for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Not only should we get excited about our God and our guide, can I say get excited about our gifts that God has given to us?
You know, I told our folks this. Many folks, even the size of this church as well, there are some folks who are just sitting on their hands. Well, that's somebody else's job. Well, that's not for me. I'll leave that to so-and-so. Soul winning, I'll keep that out. That's for the teens. Many times. I'll leave that to the teens. Cleaning, leave that to somebody else to do. I'm not doing that. And we start thinking, and here's the thing. God has gifted us all with something. All of us with something. We're all gifted with something. I don't know what that gift is. You know what the gift is. Some of you are gifted in teaching. Some of you are gifted in singing. Some of you are gifted in playing the radio. Some of you are gifted in singing solos, right? Solo that no one can hear you. Sorry. Come on. Now, not this church, though. This church is a singing church, so I know that. But man, God has gifted us with something. But can I just say, use your gift that God has given. Get excited about the gift that God's given you. You know, I honestly, I had no idea what I was going to be good at. I had no idea. I don't know what I was. You know, many times I could be funny sometimes, you know, I don't know. I had no idea, my guess. And I ended up, you know, getting, of course, being the youth pastor and getting involved in some things and started realizing what my gifts were. And, you know, I gave my heart to those teens. That was a gift I believe God gave me, because being a youth pastor, that's a calling, all right? You're either called or you're crazy. But it's a calling. And that was a gift the Lord gave to me, was a heart for teenagers. And, you know, I thought that pastoring, I was going to be out of the youth pastor stage, but now I can tell you I'm still a youth pastor and the pastor of our church. But, man, just use the gifts that God has given to you. Stir up, the Bible says, and Paul says, just stir up the gift that is in you. Stir it up. Some of you know what your gifts are, but you're not using it for God. And you know what 1 Corinthians told us? Why do you use those gifts for what? Edifying of the church. Ain't nothing wrong with cleaning or finding a gift to say, you know, I just love to vacuum. Let me just vacuum. Man, I'm good at cleaning a toilet. How many of you are gifted at that? I don't know, but some of you could be. Gifted at teaching. Man, the kids, how many teachers are downstairs, but they're all teaching right now. That's a gift. Singing, some of you, you're probably skeptical of coming back into the choir, but you can sing. Hey, join the choir. Get singing. Use your gift that God has given to you. And don't just use it, but get excited about it. When you realize, man, I got this gift and God has given that to me, and I get to use it to edify the church, I'm going to do it. And just get excited about it. You see, what we can see from Simon the Zealot is that this man gave all to his cause. He gave all to his cause. Are you giving all you can to this cause? I mean, what's the purpose of us being here? What is the purpose of us being here if we're not going to get excited about the things of God? If we're not going to get excited about when we hear, how many folks saved on Sunday? 44. No, well, amen, right? 44 people saved. Amen. Hey, that's exciting. And then the most exciting thing now is you could say, man, what's next for them? Let's go get their names and let's go visit. Oh, no, that's pastor's job. You need to go visit them. Brother Phil, that's your job. That's not only their job. That's everyone's job. Man, it's just getting excited about the things of God, getting excited about our guide, and get excited about our gifts. And I promise you this, folks, if we take what we learn from Simon called Zealot and how crazy and radical this man was, and he met Jesus and used that same excitement, that same zeal that he was for that political party he was with, and then he translated that and said, I'm going to use that for the cause of Christ. Those 12, they shook up the world for Christ. we can do the same thing if we get that same excitement. Amen. We just get that same excitement about our God, and our gifts. Get excited. I got 2 minutes. I'm going to be done right on time. That's two lies you hear from a preacher, right? I'm almost done. Close your Bible. I'm almost done, and then I don't know the other one, but either way, I'm almost done, okay? When we look at our life, could you honestly say I'm doing enough for God? Could you honestly say that? You know, I don't like the excuse, well, I'm getting older and I can't do this. I really don't like that. We say you're young. I know I'm young, but I'm hoping when I'm older, I'm not just going to quit. You know, I look at Brother McQuarrie back there. Brother McQuarrie, I don't know how old you are. What is it, like 42 or something? I'm just kidding. But man, still serving God. Not slowing down. Brother Don, Grandpa Russ. You know what translates is that they're excited about what they're still doing. They didn't just say, well, I'm going to leave it to the younger people. But they say, you know, I'm going to get excited about my God. I'm going to get excited about my God, and I'm going to get excited about my gifts. And some of you need to get stirred up a little bit. Man, after what happened on Sunday, I mean, I want to put some spurs on and just, you know, and just get excited. Literally. Just to see what God can do. You know, as I know Pastor Russ, his vision, fill this place up. Fill it up, build out, fill that up, build out. I don't know if it's that crazy, but it could happen. It could if you get excited. When people walk through the doors, they get a greeting, a handshake, and a smile, and they see you're excited about God. They're going, man, there's something different about that church. I want to go to it. And yet you could walk in some churches and look like they've been sucking on lemons. And they hate their life. But man, I just want to encourage you tonight. Get excited. Just get excited. Get excited for the things of God. I'm telling you, God can do some great things if our folks, people here, just get excited for the cause of Christ. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, always, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, help us just to get excited.